Don't know all the Coles and the Brains there in Illinois this morning. They're for those of you that know Ben Tinkey, Susie and Nancy's nephew, he's celebrating his 40th birthday today. So they're over there helping him celebrate this morning and this afternoon. So Jane and just a really quick story. I thought it was neat. I told Pat this morning. Jane, we talked to him this week about singing his special music this morning, and he said, "I want to sing Jesus Loves Me." That one gets sung a lot, Jane. Is there something else we can pick out or sing, or you got another favorite? Or he looked at me like I was nuts, and he said, "Well, Pat Carpenter gets to sing her favorite songs. That's my favorite song." How do you argue with that, I guess? So he sang Jesus Loves Me in his bare feet this morning. He got comfortable. So, Nancy was talking to us this morning and celebrate. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, so I thought it'd be appropriate to talk about being a veteran this morning. Veterans Day is a celebration across the country in remembrance of service. Men and women who have served throughout the years in many different ways. That we may enjoy our freedoms, but not just have freedoms, but to continue to make sure that those freedoms still exist, to protect people who can't protect themselves, to stand up for those that cannot stand up for themselves, and to speak for those who do not have a voice. It reminds us that we have been given a very special gift, and that gift being freedom. We like to celebrate that at the 4th of July time. We celebrate it other times throughout the year, but what a day, especially tomorrow, as we think of our veterans and the precious gift of freedom that we've been given from generation to generation. It is a gift that many, many have died for, and it's a gift that many are dying for today in defense of a principle. It's not a dream, it's not a concept, it's not a belief. This whole idea of freedom is a principle. Webster defines principle as a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. It's also defined as a rule or belief governing one's personal behavior. When we consider all that God has done for us, we must strive to be loyal, first and foremost, to God. And when we think of veterans, we think of those who have served in the U.S. military in one branch or another. There's been many avenues and ways that people can serve. We also think today of our first responders, those who are police officers, firefighters, EMS, several people that don't even hesitate to go into harm's way to help those who are in need. But I want to suggest to you today that God has called each and every one of us as Christians to be a veteran. We sing songs when we're little children as I'm in the Lord's army and talk about being a soldier for God, being a representative of God. We must strive to never give up and to never lose focus of who we are and what our mission is. And to me, that rings true as far as being a veteran, being an active soldier for God and what his mission is here on earth, which is to love all people and to save all people. John gave us a great reminder of what this communion table is all about. God's plan from the very beginning to restore mankind back to him. I'd like to read Philippians chapter 1. Starting in verse 27, we're going to just read three or four verses here. But powerful verses that Paul reminds us of what it means and what it takes to be a veteran in God's family. He says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had and now hear that I still have. A Christian veteran has three principles that he or she must stand by. Paul makes that very clear in this text. To never give up, to always be loyal, and to never lose focus. You think of the American veteran. I don't think three things more identifies an American veteran than never giving up, always being loyal to country and to the mission, and to never lose focus of who they are and why they're doing what they're doing. And Paul makes it very clear that we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus Christ, are to have the exact same principles, the exact things that identify us as veterans in Christ. So number one, if you're following along in your bulletin in the outline, number one, we're going to take a close look at verse 27. A veteran doesn't give up. Verse 27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Excuse me. Regardless of where we come from or the situation, God has called us conduct ourselves as Jesus' representatives here on earth. It doesn't matter who you are, what your gender is, how much money you make, how much full of sin you think you have been in the past or are today. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he came to earth, he came and showed how to love, he became love himself, he is the very definition of love, hung himself on a cross, allowed himself to die on that cross and raise from the dead in 3 days. If you believe all that, have confessed that faith to the world and to God himself, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I want you to go into the world now and be my ambassadors and to share the gospel message of who I am. What's the gospel message? It's the good news that God has come to rescue mankind from himself, herself. This is critical because the world is paying attention to you and to me, especially today. There's a lot of eyes focused on major world religions, and one of those major world religions is obviously Christianity. And the world's eyes are watching you, even when we are alone or we think we are alone. You are being watched like a hawk. If you identify yourself as a Christ follower, people are taking close attention to you. Some pay close attention to you because they want to watch when you fail. They want to pay close attention to you to see what it takes for you to finally give up, to finally throw your hands up in the air and say it isn't worth it, to see how far you will go before you will deny Christ. There's people out there that will watch that. There's going to be a lot of other reasons. Some people are going to watch you to say, why do you follow this God you can't see? But most of all, they're going to pay attention to, do you stick with them through everything? No matter what's going on, are you a constant follower of Christ? Even when we feel defeated, even when we feel beaten up by the enemy, even when we've lost, vets don't quit. They never give up. I love listening to old war stories from veterans, and I've got several in my life. I myself have never served in the military, especially active duty, where they are out on the field and they're being shot at, and their friends and family are dying right next to them. These men and these women never, ever give up. Even when some of the stories I've listened to, even when they're the only one left, they go down fighting. the American veteran, America, which a lot of us call the American hero, never quits. God has called you and I, no matter what, even when you're the last one standing. Paul says, I don't want you to quit. How many times in Paul's life did he find himself all by himself? How many men and women in the Old Testament were all by themselves when it came to standing up for God? And they didn't quit. And they followed God right into a fiery furnace. Or they followed God right into a lion's den. Or they followed God all the way to a cross. They didn't give up. You see, others testify to what you are doing, just as a veteran shares the hero stories. We love to hear hero stories. And it's fun when people talk about, even you amongst yourselves, what so-and-so did for the cause of Christ. I love hearing those stories, especially from men and women who have been in the family of God for 50, 60, 70 years and can tell you stories of who did what in the kingdom. People are paying attention to you, even your brothers and sisters in Christ, that in the face of adversity, you didn't give up. You kept on fighting. You kept on following Jesus. Paul encourages us to live the same life, that our testimony would be strong. That when people talk about you, they talk about a Christian vet who never gave up when things were taken away, when your marriage was hurt or destroyed, or your family went through a trial, or you went through a bankruptcy, or you, whatever the case may be that the world throws at you. But your eyes stayed focused on Jesus. Miraculous, and like John put it this morning, divine intervention happens. And people watch that in your life. And there's going to be stories told. And those stories are told for the glorification of God. To show the world, this is what God did in his life. This is what God did in her life. This is the amazing thing that happened when he stood up for Jesus at the workplace or at the family get-together or whatever the case may be. Paul challenges us to know that others are watching and they are sharing our deeds. And the testimony of what you've been through speaks volumes. I hope you know that. Some of you have been through things in life I will never go through. You have a huge testimony to share with the world of how God brought you through that. Some of you have experienced life experiences I will never experience. And I've called on some of you to minister to other people because I can't identify or I can't relate, but you can. Because you've never given up. And you've always kept your eyes on Jesus, even though it gets tough. A Christian veteran never, ever gives up. Even when others deny it, you can still share it. Because it happened to you. And just a story like John talked this morning. People may laugh or say, that's not divine. If it happened to you, you know. You know what happened to you. And you just keep following the Jesus that continues to intervene in your life. Whether the world denies it or accepts it. I want to encourage you this morning to just keep on keeping on and don't give up. Even when people give up on you. A family member gives up on you. A friend gives up on you. The church gives up on you. Whatever. Know this, God has never and will never give up on you. Don't ever give up on him. So when we never give up, we are truly being loyal to God. Which brings me to number 2, verse 28. A veteran is loyal to the very end. Verse 28 says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved. And that by God. Fear is not something that a veteran is concerned with. You watch a true American veteran. Some of the stories I've heard are absolutely incredible. Some of the images I have seen on Google of the American veteran from World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Korean War, Desert Storm. Some of those images are absolutely mind-blowing. And we're talking about 18 to 23-year-old men and women who walk into some of these danger zones. Fear does not paralyze a veteran. Fear should not paralyze us in the face of challenges or struggles which may come. Too many times Christians let fear hinder us to complete our mission, to complete what God's called us to do. Let me tell you, firefighters don't run out of the building when the heat gets turned up in the building. In fact, you watch fireman after fireman keep going in the building until that mission is done. There's no time for fear. Soldiers, the American soldiers, do not cower in the shadows when bullets start flying in their direction. I've watched image after image and listened to story after story from American veterans talking about the day that bullets were being fired their way and their friends are dropping like flies all around them. They didn't have time to be scared. They kept pushing and kept pushing. You think if the American soldier didn't keep pushing and they all ran back to the boat at the shores of Normandy, you think of that. Where would America be today? Where would you be today if they ran with their tails tucked between their legs and got back on the boat? How many people don't know Jesus Christ today? Because some of us tucked tail and ran because we were scared. Police officers don't avoid answering 911 calls because it could be an unsafe situation. They go. There's no question. They get the call on the radio and they turn those sirens on, they turn those lights on. I know because I've been sitting right next to one when it happens. And they just go and they run into the house or they run into the building. And I'm sitting in the car thinking, what are they thinking? They have a job and they have a mission. They have taught that fear can't get in the way. And their job is to protect those that cannot protect themselves. If we are not loyal, what are we? That answer's simple. Disloyal. If you are not loyal to God and you let fear get in the way, you are a disobedient and disloyal child of the King. Christians cannot avoid sharing the gospel because of unpopularity issues. And boy, do we live in a time today where the gospel message is not very popular. We live in a world today when God says not to do something and we just repeat that. And that's called hate speech. That's called, you don't know how to love your neighbor if you can't accept that. Yeah, I can love you and be disgusted by the sin. Loyalty comes from practice because of a joined belief in something. You watch those men and women who don't let fear get in the way, in the military, police officers, firefighters, whatever. That takes training. They are taught those things. They are given tools to remove that fear. They practice daily so that they know what to do when the bullets are flying their direction. They know what to do when the building's crumbling around them because of the fire. And they stay somewhat calm and are able to think in those situations. Are we practicing daily so that we're ready when we are under attack or people question our beliefs or question why? Why does God not do that or why does God allow that to happen? Do you have an answer for that? Never giving up and being loyal leads us to never losing focus. The American veteran never loses focus on what their mission is. This brings me to number three, verses 29 through 30. A veteran never loses focus. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Compassion is something we each have within us to display to others. That's what we need to be focused on. We serve a Jesus that was full of compassion on the rest of the world. You want to know what you're not supposed to be focused on? Compassion. Suffering is a command of Christ, which Paul talks about often. If you're going to have compassion for people, and you are going to love people the way Jesus loved people, you are going to come under attack. You will suffer. Christ didn't say, come follow me, and you're going to be full of good health and good wealth, and things are going to go smooth your way. Jesus said the complete opposite. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. But let me tell you, the world's going to be tough. In this world, you're going to encounter trouble. But Jesus also threw another promise in there. But take hold. I've overcome the world. The world belongs to who? Him. Everything in the world was created for him. Who do you think has ultimate control? Him. When we are reminded of that, that keeps our eyes focused on who it is we're serving, him. Christ said you're going to suffer, but there's going to be rewards for that suffering. I can't think of one American veteran who can't tell you multiple stories of human suffering on themselves and the people around them. Boot camp alone, to me, is human suffering. I can't imagine some of the things they went through. And if you go beyond that, if you become a Ranger or a Navy SEAL, or the things they go through and the suffering they put their body through to protect and to save American lives is incredible. Paul's testimony gives us encouragement that being a veteran is possible. Don't ever think the things God's calling you to do today is impossible. Don't sit in your pew this morning and say, you don't know me. You don't know my personality. Some of those things are impossible. I just don't have a voice to speak. I don't have the personality that speaks up for Christ. Yeah, you do. God wouldn't ask you to do something that he won't equip you to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, Paul reminds us very clear of his suffering and how he was able to endure for Christ. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. How many of you have a list like that and yet are afraid of sharing the gospel? None of that stopped Paul from focusing on the mission. Even during those times and those experiences, he was focused on what? The cause of Christ. Preaching Christ as Savior, Christ as King. Real quick, I mean quick, let's examine an example of Jesus' suffering for us. 1 Peter, if you have your Bible, 1 Peter, you're going to want to mark this. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Jesus Christ did not retaliate. When God says, I want you to stay focused and you act like Jesus. When Jesus suffered for the cause of God, he did not retaliate. How many times when we're under opposition do we want to retaliate with words or with actions? That's losing focus of who you are. That's losing control. Jesus made no threats. Made promises, no threats. He entrusted it himself to God the Father. Don't forget who you're working for. Don't forget who your orders are coming from. Don't forget who your protector is. Jesus never lost focus, even when he was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan himself. Christ was on; he was focused on the mission, the job at hand. So why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus do that? Why would he leave his throne on heaven and become a subordinate, a veteran for you? So that we might die to sin. That word might is a decision word. When God says so that you might die to sin, that doesn't mean an automatic that's what happens. That word might is a decision word. We must choose Christ. You must choose to be a Christian veteran. You choose to wake up every day and obey your Heavenly Father. You choose to wake up every day to show compassion. God says we were going away like sheep, but we needed a Redeemer. Imagine if Jesus had just decided to give up because it was too hard. Don't think for a second it wasn't hard. Don't ever forget the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was on his hands and knees, sweat pouring out of him like blood, asking God, begging God, if there's any other way to do this, let's do it another way. God said, no, this has been the plan all along. Christ stayed focused. Through that whole walk to Calvary, his focus was on you. When they were putting the nails in his hands, his focus was on you. When they put the spear in his side, his focus was on you. A veteran never loses focus. So this morning, remember, a principle is a rule of belief governing one's personal behavior. Most of you, I assume, live under the principle that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He lived, died, and rose again for you. That is the principle that brings us together this morning, all of us. That's the principle that brought us to the Lord's table this morning. That is the principle that sends us out into the world today. To be warriors, to be heroes, to be veterans for the cause of Christ. When we consider all that God has done for us, we must strive to be loyal. That's not a choice. If you're going to continue in your walk with God, you've got to maintain loyalty to Him, never giving your loyalty to the world. And boy, the world's going to give you lots of opportunities to exchange your loyalty. God says, I want you, I want all of you. And he's very serious about that. We must strive to never give up. And we must never, ever lose focus. So what now? Those are the three principles of being a veteran for God. What now? What now when we leave this place? I want to encourage each and every one of you, fall deeper in love with God. Each and every day. Make that your number one priority. Today, I'm going to fall deeper in love with God. Some of you have fallen deeper in love with your spouse than you did 20 years ago. Whole different kind of love. That love transitioned into many stages you've experienced, battles together, with each other, and against each other sometimes. Some of you can stand before God and say, I love my spouse more today than the day you united us. That's how your walk with God should be. To purposely say, I'm going to fall deeper in love with God today in what I do with him. Testify to that love by loving people. Find ways. It's not good enough to stand in the corner and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know who should I love today. The world is full of people, hurting people. Go find somebody. Love them. Take care of them. Find somebody with a broken fuel pump. Love them. Help them. Find somebody with a broken heart. Love them. Let Christ fix them. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to family. And to be faithful to country. That's what God expects you to do today. By falling deeper in love, we will never give up. Hear that. By testifying daily, you will remain loyal. And by being faithful, we will never lose focus. Where are you today in your walk with the Lord? Are you honoring God in all that you do like a veteran would? What a great opportunity to think of the American veteran and how he or she takes care of business. And it's not always fun. Reminds us of what the Christian veteran ought to be doing. And it isn't always fun. But boy, does God provide joy in all circumstances. I just want to encourage each and every one of you. This morning, our invitation is always the same. If you need to start today your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you need to stand before your Creator God and tell him, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is your Son. I believe you sent him to die for me. And I believe that you empowered him to raise from the dead so that I may receive the gift of grace, mercy, forgiveness, and I may receive the gift of everlasting life in his name. Boy, today's your day. Come and running forward this morning. Take hold of that gift from God. Acknowledge him before your friends and family here at church. Be baptized in his baptism. We invite you to do that this morning. For the rest of us, as we celebrate Veterans Day this weekend, especially tomorrow, think about what God's called you to do. Being a veteran isn't just for the military. Boy, we thank God every day for our men and women. We would not be here where we are today without them. But you have been called to be a veteran as well. In the Most High Army. In the Most High mission to save those who cannot save themselves. You were once one of those. You were dead to sin. Christ made you alive through his grace and mercy. We need to let the world know that. Would you respond to the word of God this morning? We're going to sing. I'm going to attempt to do the invitation song this morning. Hopefully my microphone will be turned off. But I'm going to grab a hymnal down here. Let's stand. And I think we're going to sing...